Tell me the story of Jesus. I love to tell that story. You know, it never grows old. That story began near 2,000 years ago. As far as the New Testament is concerned. The story of Jesus, of course, began in the garden 5,000+ years ago. Because that's at a time in which God had already purposed a plan to bring Jesus into the world. But as a New Testament church, from the birth of Jesus until he ascended back up into heaven, there's a wonderful story. And whenever you meet somebody new, you really do have to think about this amazing story and you have to share that with them. I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 3 verses 1 through 13. And keep your Bibles at hand. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church by the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." You think about that, the Apostle Paul. In this letter that he wrote to the Ephesians, Paul, he's narrating the wonderful grace of God. That grace of God that has empowered Paul, least of all the saints, he said, it's empowered him to preach the gospel of Christ among the Gentiles. The unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, we just sang that one of my most favorite songs, and I have a lot of favorite songs, but I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. And I really hope that all of us have that same kind of excitement in the Spirit. That psalmist, you know, he reminds us about things of old. When you look at what that psalmist says, "For a day in the courts is better than 1,000 years. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000 years. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." Think about that. It is so exciting, so moving, so powerful, so enriching, so uplifting, so encouraging to be in the house of God. How could we not tell others about the salvation that Jesus brought into this world through the Father? Like Him, like Paul, we who are called by the glorious name of Jesus, we can relate to this powerful fact that it is far better to serve the Lord our God, our Father, in His kingdom for one day than to spend a lifetime in pleasure in this world. Isn't that great? No matter what this world offers, all the riches and all the excitement and all the entertainment and all the pleasures of life, none of it, from beginning to end of eternity, will ever add up to one day in the courts of the Lord. And you're all here. Everyone who has believed and accepted the Lord, everyone who's been baptized, their sins have been washed away, they've been added to the church. That message is for you. A lifetime of pleasures don't hold a candlestick to one day in the household of God. And that's where you are if you believed and obeyed Christ. His awesome saving power of God that comes from His most precious word. You know, we were once slaves of sin. But because we've obeyed the gospel, we are now freed from sin. We have now been forgiven of our sins. Slaves one time. But the Scripture says that we have obeyed through the heart that form of doctrine. And we are forgiven of our sins. That began your first day in the courts of the Lord. You know, we're servants of the most righteous. And we're heirs. Not errors, but heirs. Heirs. To the kingdom, to the glory of God. Titus says, you're now, brethren, you're made servants of the righteous and now heirs according to the hope of eternal life in Christ. Solomon said, you know, of making of many books, there is no end. How does that fit into this conversation? Because the world out there, they've been striving for from the very beginning of time until now, new things, new knowledge. They're trying to get answers and they write books and they write books and they write books and they never really do come to this place, to the courts of the Lord. They're always just outside the door. And for all their books and all their harmonies and all their poems and all their writings and searchings and desiring to know truth, they never step into the court of the Lord. They just miss it by that much. Solomon said to the writing of books, there is no end. John wrote in his gospel, at the very end of the gospel, he says of making the things that Jesus did and that which were written, if we wrote them down one by one, he says, I suppose that not even the whole world would be able to contain the number of books that would have to be written. That's how wonderful our Lord and Savior is. Just amazing. But you know, when you think about this, there's so much information out in the world today, that things that are written down over the years. In the United States alone, in the Library of Congress, there's over 16 million books. Just the books. 16 million. And this is just in the United States, in the Library of Congress. 16 million books. Ever changing. Never satisfied. I want to let you in on a little secret.
A little secret. Over the years, these men have written these books. They've searched for answers, written millions upon millions, literally, of books and pages, billions. Yet God, in His infinite wisdom and His omnipotence, has written down for us all that pertains unto life and godliness in just one collection of 66 little books called the Bible. All that pertains unto life and godliness. All the answers that we really need when it comes to sincere questions about why do I exist on this earth? And what is God going to do for me? Where should I go from here? You want to seek out the court of the Lord and you want to spend at least one day there. Because if you really do that out of a sincere and good heart, you'll be in that court for eternity. And you'll have the joy and the peace and the love that comes only from God. This collection called the Bible, it's all we need to know for answers of life's most precious question. And you know what's another secret is it never changes. We don't have volume 1 and volume 2 and reference or revision number 1 and revision number 2 and revision number 12 and revision number 16. It's never changing. In other words, you can trust this great and precious message. Since the beginning, reassuring truths from God have never changed. Never changed. And that's why I love to tell the story. The old, old story. It never changes. Think about that. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, if it never changes, doesn't it get kind of boring? No. Because every time you tell that to somebody who has a good and honest and a soft heart, a heart that's fertile and able to receive the Word of God, and you see their face light up and you see them making that decision to obey the Lord, and you just get filled up with all kinds of joy. It feels good. Is that all there is about? No. Because you know that what you're doing is precious to God and that you're bringing the good news of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation He's offered us right to the door of some person. And if they accept that, the door opens and they can begin to spend days in the courts of the Lord. What a wonderful experience it is. I love to tell the story. Some things that will never change. You know, remember Solomon, he said, to the writing of books, there is no end. There's always going to be changes. But there's some things that never change. For example, the problem of sin. In the world, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And according to Romans 5:12, sin proclaims that death passed upon all men because all have sinned. Therefore, just as one man has sinned and sin entered the world, that death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Because all have sinned. We know that. That's never going to change. It's never going to change. No matter how good of a person I am, no matter how generous I am, no matter how loving I am, I could be the best father on earth, the best friend on earth, but I'm going to sin. And I need Jesus. In order to get in that door and spend one day in the courts of the Lord, I need Jesus. Because He's the door. He's the way. I need Jesus in my life. And I don't want to wait. Because the good feeling of knowing that I've done what I must do is tremendous. I need Jesus. I need to make that decision. I need to go in that door.
Think about that with me.
Sin abounds in the world that we live in today. That's one thing that hasn't changed around us. Mankind is prone to sin. We can't get around that no matter what you do. Lust of sin affects every individual. The desire for sin. The children of God are not exempt either. You know, we fight daily against sin just like anybody else does. But we have something on our side. The precious blood of Christ and the power to overcome sin by the grace of God.
Sin abounds, but it doesn't control you as a child of God. We can't be foolish now.
In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we read about how a person can't say that they have no sin, because if we do that, we're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We can't do that. We're no different than anyone else in this world. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We know that is true. And He'll forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's why it's so wonderful to be in the court of the Lord, because you know
the power of His blood.
If we say that we have not sinned, if we try to convince ourselves or somebody else that I've never sinned, I don't need Jesus, we're liars.
And His Word isn't in us. And we'll never be in that court.
We need Jesus. We need to decide to obey Him at all costs, regardless of anything in this world. Neither family, nor friends, nor co-workers, nor relationships that we have. Nothing in this world should be able to get between you and Jesus and the salvation of your soul.
Because one day in the courts of the Lord is better than all eternity in the world. We need that. From Eden till now, sin abounds.
And sin will always be a problem with the saints. We always have to be on guard. You know, what must we do in light of this truth? The Word.
The Word. Jesus.
That's the beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. By Him all things were made. Without Him was not anything made that was made.
He's the master of the door. He became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God. We have that key through the Lord Jesus. And all we have to do is accept it. His grace can save a wretch like Paul and a wretch like me. And it can put a joyful noise in my ear, in my heart. That joyful sound. Listen, He made all things new. Everything that He did, He made. Everything that was made, He made. Hebrews 1 through 3 tells us that He's God's Son, that everything prior to Him was old, and now that in these last days we want to listen to His Son, and it's through His Son that all things were made.
He's our Savior. You know, part of that old story is Jesus was born of a virgin. When you read about that wonderful account of the birth of Jesus, how an angel had come to Mary and told Mary and Joseph both not to separate, but stay together. She was going to give birth to a child, and they were going to call that child Emmanuel. God is with us.
And He came.
He was born into this world, in a world full of sin, but without sin.
And that Jesus grew and began to teach a wonderful and powerful message. His gospel.
And while He was on this earth, Jesus challenged people. The scriptures tell us that He challenged the religious leaders of the time. Those people who were filled with all manner of hypocrisy.
And he challenged them with the simple truth about the Messiah and the fact that he was God's Son. And that he had power from the Father, and that he came from the Father, and at some point in the future, near future, he was going to ascend back up to the Father. He was going to overcome death. Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will rebuild it. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will... What? Hey, he did that, didn't he? They crucified the Lord, dead and buried, but in 3 days, he reestablished life. He arose from the grave by the power of God, victorious over sin and death. He challenged those leaders. They didn't listen. Their hearts were too cold. They will never step foot in that court of the Lord and find the great joy of being with the Lord for one day. Remember that one day is 1,000 years to the Lord. Imagine, just one day. We're all expecting to live 60, 70, 80 years if we're lucky, 90. One day, 1,000 years. So if you enter into that household of God and you enter into that court of God and you're there one day, it's going to feel like 1,000 years. Such joy. Such joy. Jesus died for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died for us. Think about what the Lord has done for you. Even while you were yet still in your sins. If you've not obeyed the gospel, Christ died for you. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, he was born into this terrible, wretched world, and he suffered while he was here, and he was mocked and ridiculed and spit on and beaten and crucified for you while you're still in your sin. And he's still waiting for you these some 2,000-ish years later. He's still there. He's wanting you to take a hold and open that door and let him come in, and so that you can sit in that court of the Lord and have the great joy that comes from knowing God. Jesus was raised from the dead. He's exalted to the right hand of God. No one can make that promise except Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus is the one before whom we all one day shall stand. Whether or not we have accepted him doesn't matter. Whether or not we have the great comfort and joy and knowledge knowing that we're inside the courts of the Lord, it doesn't matter. Whether or not we know that we are saved, it doesn't matter. Because if we're not saved, that's what really matters. If we haven't accepted the Lord, that's what really matters. Because we're outside that court and we'll never see the inside of that door in the courts of the Lord. You know, what must we do? We have to preach the truth and the light. It's a great privilege to be able to have that divine revelation, that revealed gospel of the Lord. In Galatians chapter 1, look in your Bibles in Galatians chapter 1. And in verses 11 and 12. And Paul writes, "But I make known to you." That was a great and precious thing Paul was able to do. "I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which I preach, by which was preached by me, is not according to man. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ." Imagine yourself saying those words to someone. "I make known to you my friend. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Something that was never taught or received by man. Not according to man. And imagine if they received that, the joy that they would have in their hearts. It's the power of God unto salvation. And nothing will ever change. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, Moses commanded that they take the word of God and receive it as it is and not change one thing, not to add to nor to take from the word of the Lord, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you this day. Don't change a thing. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and following, the Apostle Paul talks to the church about how they had received another gospel, but it wasn't another gospel, but some would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he says, if we or an angel from heaven were to preach any other gospel than that which you received at first, let him be accursed. It never can change. We can't change one jot or one tittle. It's not ours. And as long as we keep that and never change it, that great good news is going to be powerful in your mouth. Remember in John 12 and 48 that that truth that is being preached, Jesus said those words, His words, will judge us in the last day. It never changes. Jesus saves. We still preach the same one church. That will never change. His church is a spiritual relationship that we have between Him and our Maker. Jesus said, I will build my church. And we can all be part of that. It begins in the heart of man. In Acts 2 and 37, they were pricked in their hearts, the Scripture says. And then they believed and they repented and they were baptized. They confessed Jesus and they were saved. They were added to the body, to the church, which Jesus is the head of. And remember, there's only one body. We learned that in Ephesians 4 and 4 and 2 and 16. One body. There's not two churches. One. And we still preach the same spiritual form of spiritual worship. Remember that Jesus told us that we true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Spiritual worship in the church has never changed. It still involves singing. It still involves teaching. It still involves communion. It still involves giving and it still involves prayer. That's the way it was back in the beginning and that's the way it is today. It never changes. We can trust these things. All Christians still worship regularly upon the first day of the week. It started in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. At least we saw it there. An example of that. Another thing is that we still preach the same work of the church. We think about the work of the church. The church is organized to do the work for the perfecting of the saints in three areas: edification, benevolence, and evangelism. And our job is to do those three things and speak the truth in love. Speaking in the truth in love. Growing up in all things into Him which is the head of the church, Christ Jesus. Purifying our souls, obeying the truth. Another thing here is we still preach the same organization of the church. In the beginning, Jesus Christ is the head. He's still the head. The head commanded that elders and deacons be overseers and servants in the church. And elders are told to feed the flock, and members obey the rule of the elders. And we still do that today. We still preach the same hope that Jesus saves. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 teaches us that while he was yet a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, became author and of the eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's Jesus. And when you become a person that obeys Him and He's the author of eternal salvation in your life, you're in that wonderful court of the Lord. That gospel that was declared to us, which Paul preached, and we now can preach. Something we really, really need. Wonderful exhortation in hope of eternal life. God, who cannot lie, He promised that to us.
and hope of the promise of Jesus. We have that hope. Jesus, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? He's going to come back and receive you unto himself so that where he is, you may be also. We have victory in Christ. Divine confidence is given to those who obey Jesus. 2,000 years of preaching. And you know what? Nothing's ever changed. I would rather spend one day in the court of the Lord. I would rather be saved just for one day in all of life than to spend an eternity in this world without Christ. It's a wonderful and fulfilling thing. Truly a joy. Truly a joy to spend one's life preaching the gospel of Jesus. This is a good time of year to do that because a lot of people are receptive to the word Jesus. Truly, I love to tell the story. Can you say those words? Because that's the way the Lord's people should always be. And I pray that if you haven't obeyed the gospel tonight, that you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today, that you can, too, receive the great blessings to be in His court, to be a part of His kingdom, to be recipients of His blessings. And then you can join us all as we live obedient lives to our Lord. You can be a part of the church and take advantage of the cleansing and regenerating power of Christ and His gospel. That we together, can enjoy the most wonderful fellowship in the world, to be in the court of the Lord, to be in His kingdom, to be called His child. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you're still in your sins. You're outside that court. You're outside of His body. You're outside of His influence. You're outside of His saving blood. And you'll never see that wondrous and gorgeous and amazing and beautiful eternity on the other side. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His glory. I hope that you're encouraged today, if you're a Christian, to just think about how exciting it is to be a part of His kingdom upon this earth and to be able to go out and tell that good old story. It never grows old. It never grows old. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you've refused Him or you haven't obeyed the gospel, then I encourage you to look at Psalm number 332. What a better or more fitting song. I surrender all. Do you have a need this day? Whether it be to be baptized into Christ and to lead this new blessed life in Him, to stand in the court of the Lord and His kingdom, or if you kind of shut yourself out of the kingdom through sin and you need the help of the church and prayers and repentance, then we're here to help you. Whatever your need may be, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.